Hey, welcome to the Circuit Rider Podcast. I'm Nick Brandt, and I'm one of the senior leaders here at Circuit Riders, and it is amazing to see how God is growing this missional community, both here and around the world. We have gotten so many testimonies of how this podcast has revived people's faith, empowered them into their purpose, and led them into a place of personal freedom. And right now, as the Circuit Riders, we're in a season of expansion, and we need the help and support of our whole community, including you, to meet those needs. So if Circuit Riders has been a source of encouragement, life, or a blessing to you, we are asking that you would become a monthly giver. Something powerful takes place when we move from just a place of receiving to taking personal responsibility in becoming a participant by giving. If you're ready to give, you can donate now at www.circuitriders.com/donate. Again, thank you for listening and enjoy the podcast.
Are you guys ready for Chase tonight? Man, we don't really like observers. We like participants. Are you guys ready for Chase tonight? Okay. Chase, come on up, bro.
Thank you, Ian. Thank you, Zach. Can we give it up for those guys tonight? I know why you guys are a little quieter tonight. Worship was ridiculous. Is anybody still kind of caught up from the time of worship? There's at least two people over here. There's only two people still caught up from that moment. We're participants here. We're not. Anybody else caught up from that moment? Okay, would anybody else like to go back into that moment maybe a little deeper as we close tonight? Guys, I was almost a mess there sending out Lucas. They are such dear friends, but I have good news. I've already started a GoFundMe to fly them back out every quarter. So if you want to give to that, we'll put a QR code up here in a second. No, we won't do that. But I love Lucas and Karen. I love what they've given to Jesus, what they've sown into our community. It's a real privilege, isn't it, when you get led by people who have depth in Jesus. I don't know if you guys realize it. Monday nights, I just feel like this is one of the most fun, special places to be on the planet. And it's not just because of Lucas or Olivia, though that is true. I love this place so much because there is a depth and a hunger for Jesus in every one of you. Four of you believe that. No, this is a rare place when you gather in an upper room with hundreds of young people that are hungry and thirsty for Jesus. I'm telling you, I didn't want to stop worship because that's what it's all about anyway. I'm glad we went a little bit longer. I'm glad we extended it a few extra minutes because there's something that happens to us in the place of worship, we come alive. And I don't know if you ever thought about this throughout your days that, man, why is it when believers gather together and we come with simple hunger and desperation to bring Jesus a gift of worship, why is it that I feel so myself? Have you ever considered, like, why is it on a Monday night I get so excited to be with some people I know, some I don't know, first time, a few times? What is it that happens when we all come with sincere, simple devotion to Jesus? His presence shows up. Because you and I were made to be worshipers. It's not just something that we do. It's not just a side meal, a part of the Christian life. You and I, all of us, not just the guys on the stage, not just Lucas, not just Olivia, every single one of us was designed by God to live a life of worship. And if you didn't know that, tonight's your night. I have a title for tonight's message. I got two titles, actually. You guys want both titles tonight? I'll give you the kosher one first, okay? Every disciple a worshiper. That's nice, right? You guys like that one? Okay, those are for feeling tender tonight. That's for you. For those who are ready for the raw talk. The other one is, wake up, priests! I think so often, I'm just going to give a quick intro to stir your spirit tonight. I think too often we take our design from God as a priest too lightly. I think we take our design as a priest, because guess what? And we're going to look at this story in the Bible. It's a thread throughout all of biblical history. But too often we take part of our identity and our design as a priest way too lightly. And if we don't take it lightly, we reserve it for those on stage. But I'm going to prove to you tonight that the role of a priest is not for those on stage. I'm going to prove to you tonight that it's time for us to arise, to awaken to our destiny, our calling, that every single one of us is a part of the royal priesthood. Who's excited to go after that tonight? Feel excited too. Okay. So I want to do a quick recap. I know we're starting the series, but Nick really has led us to this place the last few weeks. He talked about meekness 2 weeks ago. If we're aligned with Jesus, is everything in our life submitted to God's ways? Last week, he talked about the making of a disciple. Is it all working in our lives? Are we true disciples? Have we surrendered what we really need to God to be true disciples? What do we have to let go of? What do we need to say yes to? And tonight, as we look at what it means to be a priest or a worshiper, I want us to remember what a disciple is first. So the overarching theme of this series is we are disciples of Jesus. Amen. We're not congregants of Jesus. We're not just listeners. We are disciples of Jesus. Now, what is a disciple? If you weren't here the last few weeks, I'm going to say it again, a definition. A disciple is a learner, a pupil. It's one who is constantly associated with someone who has a reputation or a particular set of views. A disciple of Christ is one who would constantly be associated with Christ based on beliefs and lifestyles. Are we known for strict adherence to Jesus, his teaching, and his ways? As disciples, we should look, smell, everything that we should do should be, man, that reminds me of Jesus. Not just on a Monday night when it's going crazy, every hand's lifted. Day in, day out, our calling as followers of Jesus is to be a disciple. Everybody say disciple. Now, this is exciting to me because Sunday, Wednesday, Christianity actually gets kind of boring. Because if you're halfway into something and halfway out, you're never actually totally in and you never get to really experience it. But only disciples get to experience Jesus for who he really is, because Jesus' invitation wasn't, hey, come follow me 75%. His invitation was, hey, come follow me. So to be a disciple requires all of us. Amen? Okay, a few more definitions. Can I do a few more definitions on the front end? Now, I said a few words that things will come to our mind. I said, we're a priesthood of believers, right? How many of you, when I say the word priest, have a certain thing come to your mind? How many of you guys go like, either Catholic priest, guy with a thing, anybody do that? How many goes even more old school, like giant robe, maybe tassels on the robe, who knows, maybe something on his head, some jewels? How many of you guys go even more old school when you hear the word priest? How many, when you hear the word priest, it's like, that sounds kind of like a religious word? And so, guys, this is, you got to be honest on a Monday night. Some of you guys gave me the, okay? It's all right, guys. Sometimes, even now, when I think about the word priest, I don't think about, whoa, what an exciting calling to have in Jesus to be a priest. Sometimes I think about priest as a guy who's quiet, he's got a candle, kind of walks in, does stuff by himself. We've got all kinds of mental images or things we've been told about the priesthood. And guess what? Priests aren't just something that exists in Christianity. There's priests of every religion on the planet. Typically, I'm going to give you a definition. Here we go. A priest is a minister or religious leader who performs religious rites to God on behalf of others. So basically, the simple definition outside of a follower of Jesus priest, a priest is someone who goes to God or a God on somebody else's behalf. So instead of you coming in tonight and saying, I'm going to go straight to Jesus, a priest would then go, man, Lucas up there, he's going to go to Jesus on my behalf. Zach's going to come up here, he's going to go to Jesus on my behalf. So there's a storyline, even in Scripture, though, where God had a set-apart people called priests. Can we look at that really quick tonight? Okay, two functions of a priest before we do that. A priest has two primary functions. Everybody say two. That's good, guys. Not a long list tonight. It's just two things to remember tonight. Number one function. Often overlooked and often reserved for a special group of people, but we're taking ground back tonight. We're waking up as priests. Number one function of a biblical priest, can I tell you what it is? It's to minister to God. This is the first, most riveting, exciting aspect of our identity as priests. Can you believe it? I'm going to get ahead of myself. I'm going to preach for 2 minutes because I'm pumped on this. Who are we to get to minister to him? No, guys, we have it way too good in Christianity and we don't realize it. He's perfect. He's holy. He's unapproachable in his holiness. He's glorious, his wonder. To be in his presence, if you're not covered by the blood, you don't make it out. But when you're a priest, a follower of Jesus, you get the privilege of drawing near to him and ministering to him. This is too good. You know why else this is good? Because I said at the beginning, we're created to worship. And you know what's funny? Is outside of worship to the Creator, outside of worship to Jesus, the human heart is always left wanting. If you're not a priest of Jesus, you'll be a priest of something else. And it might be to yourself. It might be to your Instagram, to your TikTok. I want to worship myself. How cool can I get? You might be a priest to your favorite sports team. Come on up, Ian. What's going on tonight? Give it up for Ian. Is that for Lindy? Some priests need glasses to drive home, okay? Because they got kids. I got two. They got to go home and go to bed. Oh, good commercial break there. Where was I? Priests minister to God. They worship him. And tonight, we're going to major on that one. We're going to take back ground that ministering to Jesus, that moving his heart as a priest is for every single one of us. Whether you're in the last corner row, the last seat, whether you're standing up, whether you're sitting on the side, whether you're front row, whether you come back up here, whether you're like Tony and play guitar. I don't care who you are tonight. We're taking back ground, or where you are tonight. I care who you are. I don't care where you are. We're taking back ground that every single one of us is a priest to Jesus. And it's going to be a lot of fun, okay? Okay, second thing, we'll hit this a little bit tonight, is a priest ministers to people. One guy, yeah. Everybody else is like, go back to Jesus, way more fun. True, it is way more fun to be a priest to Jesus and minister to him because he's perfect. But the other job of a priest is then you create meeting places with God for other people. Maybe you've never thought about preaching the gospel as a priestly activity, but how else could somebody ever come in contact with Jesus? Unless you, a mobile priest, traveling with your mobile, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm excited tonight. Are you not the temple of God? So where you go, he goes. So when you're at Trader Joe's checking out, and somebody notices something different about you because you've been being a priest at home by yourself, they say, man, what is it about you? You start talking about Jesus, guess what you're doing? You are creating a meeting place for somebody else with God. Because you had a meeting place with God alone. All right, I got ahead of myself. Okay, but to understand the priesthood fully, I want to start by looking at our faithful high priest, Jesus. Because he doesn't ask us to do something. He doesn't put something in our DNA foundationally that he is not himself. How many of you guys know that Jesus is a high priest? Okay, we got some work to do because only 30% now. We're still getting the participation up a little bit tonight. How many of you guys would say when you hear Jesus is king, you're like, duh. Right? Jesus is Savior. Celebration. Jesus conquered. There's just so many things. We're like, yes. Sometimes when I hear Jesus high priest, I'm like, huh? Anybody else do that? We're going to paint the picture of how exciting this is that there is a priesthood, okay? Here we go. A high priest. Can I give you a definition really quick? Because Jesus is the high priest of our faith now. It's a priest with special status and function, a royal advisor, a special class of counselor to the king. Jesus is our high priest. What does that mean? That means he is the royal counsel to the Father himself. Perfect mercy, perfect love sits at the right hand of the Father as a high priest on your behalf, on my behalf, as Romans 8 says. He is sitting there at the right hand of the Father interceding for you and for me. This is really good news. It'll get better as we understand it. Okay, now if a priest's primary function is to minister or worship, how does the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit model this? We got to see how the Trinity models the priesthood so that we can really grab a hold of it. Can we take a really brief look at this? Okay, first thing, at Jesus' baptism, before he's done any public ministry, before he's done any special act, he's walked out into his, before anything, He comes to John the Baptist, who's baptizing in the Jordan. John tries to stop him, say, I need to be baptized by you. And Jesus says, no, this is fitting. When Jesus is baptized by John, he comes out of the water. It says, the heavens are ripped open. The Spirit comes down like a dove. And what do we hear the Father say? What do you hear the Father say? Is the first thing you hear the Father say, I have a really big assignment for you, Jesus. He's revealing something. Like, what is most important in the relationship of the Father and the Son? What is foundational in their relationship? The skies are ripped open. The Father, you hear his voice boom from heaven. This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. There's adoration from the Father to the Son. Because what worship is, it's what you ascribe value to. So you see the Father ascribing value to Jesus as his Son that he loves, with whom he's well pleased. What does Jesus say? Jesus says, I only do what I see the Father doing. Jesus doesn't operate out of the Father's will. Jesus only operates doing what he sees the Father doing. What is authentic worship? It's not just a song. Authentic worship is wholehearted obedience and willingness to sacrifice anything for what is most valuable in your life. First time worship is introduced is in Genesis chapter 22, and it's in the context of God asking Abraham to sacrifice his only son with Sarah, Isaac. He tells his servants, wait right here while we go up on this mountain and what? And we worship. So worship is introduced in the context of wholehearted obedience and sacrifice. Jesus models this in the Trinitarian unity. He says, Father, I'll only do what I see you doing because I love you more than myself. Think about him in the Garden of Gethsemane when the weight of the sins of the world are about to be upon him. He says, not whose will, not mine, but yours be done. He models to us authentic worship time and time again where he's willing to put himself second, saying, whatever your will is, Father, I'm in to do it. You guys catching the rhythm of this? One more thing. How does the Holy Spirit do it? John 16, 14. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit comes, what's his job? To glorify Jesus. So you get a quick biblical picture that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they live in this perfect relationship of adoration of each other and honor of each other. There's perfect love. There's perfect worship within their relationship. So when he's asking us to be a priest, to step into that place of loving him and loving others, he's not asking us something that he's not already doing. He's not asking us something that he's not already is. This is who he is. He is a high priest. He can't help but love the Father. He can't help but love the Spirit. The Son can't help but glorify him. The Spirit can't help but glorify both. It's just who they are. So you catching a little bit of that heartbeat? This is who they are. Let's keep going. Okay, I want us to look at a quick story in the Old Testament. I want to paint the picture because we live in an era where we take the priesthood for granted. Our privilege and our right, man, what Jesus purchased for us, it wasn't always this way, guys. We got to look at the history because God has always been longing to make a place for his people to draw near to him. Since Eden, remember, Adam and Eve walked in the cool of the day with God. They walked in perfect communion relationship. But since Eden, when that flaming sword came down, the angels blocking the way back to Eden, God had been dreaming up a plan. How do I get my people back in communion relationship in my presence? And we're going to see this in Exodus chapter 19. Okay, Exodus 19, God is speaking to Moses. This is before Moses has gone up on the mountain, before he's gone up to get the Ten Commandments, before he's gone up to get the law. He speaks to Moses and to all of Israel. He says this line in Exodus 19:6. He says, you shall be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Everybody say kingdom of priests. That was pretty good. Let's go a little bit louder time. Say kingdom of priests. Okay, there we go. Okay, then Moses goes up the mountain. Goes up Sinai. It's burning with smoke. He's up there for a long time. The people aren't allowed to go up with him. It's burning with smoke and fire. He's up there. And we get the Ten Commandments, we get the law, and then we get seven chapters describing the tabernacle and the priests and their garments and the anointing. 7 chapters of Scripture is devoted to the tabernacle. There's about 12 between when they get this calling to be a kingdom of priests, but 7 of those 12 is dedicated to the tabernacle. Do you think God cares about the priesthood? Do you think he cares about his place of worship? He was so particular about every detail, about every aspect. He was like, this is how it's got to be because this represents me. Now, something happens that's a bummer. Everybody say, bummer. Okay. While Moses is up there, it takes a little while. And even though the whole nation had been delivered out of Egypt, they saw the Red Sea part. They saw an entire army drowned in the Red Sea. Even though that happened, while Moses is up on this mountain getting the Ten Commandments, getting the law, while that's happening, they turn to Aaron, who's going to be the high priest, and say, Aaron, we don't know where Moses is. This is kind of taking a while. Make us a god out of gold that we could worship it. And we'll say, these are the gods that brought us out of Egypt. There's a mountain burning with fire and smoke. Hey, Aaron, I got an idea. Let's throw a party. Let's make an idol like we had back in Egypt. Let's go back to our old life. Make something to worship. Here we go. Aaron does it for him. Makes an idol. Moses comes down the mountain. God's not pleased, as you can imagine. He had just rescued his entire people to himself, giving them all the plans. Moses is infuriated. God's infuriated. What's going to happen? Moses makes this statement. He says, who's on God's side? Come to me. Only one tribe goes to Moses. Can you guys guess what that tribe is? It's Levites. Now, if you study the Old Testament at all, the Levites were the ones that got to walk in the priestly role in the nation of Israel. In Exodus 19, that was not God's original design. It was a kingdom of priests. The invitation was for the entire nation. But because of a return to the old ways, a return to flesh, 11 of 12 tribes missed out on their inheritance to be a priest. And then the second time, the priestly order is just for the Levites. Now, before you get bummed, there's good news coming, okay? Deuteronomy 10:8 says this, watch how incredible it is to be a priest. At that time, the Lord set apart the tribe of Levi to carry the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord, to minister, and to pronounce blessings in his name as they still do today. That is why the Levites have no share or inheritance among their fellow Israelites. The Lord is their inheritance, as the Lord your God told them. When you get to be a priest, you are not worried about the temporal things of this world. When you grab a hold of who you are, I'm a royal priest. You have an inheritance so rich in God himself, you don't need anything else to satisfy you. Money's a little tight. That's all right. I got Jesus. Not sure what my calling is. Your calling's him. You're going to be all right. I don't have enough followers. Just follow him. You'll be okay. No, when we grab a hold of the inheritance of being a priest, it means we're grabbing a hold of the inheritance of knowing Christ. The greatest privilege in the Christian life is knowing him in intimacy. And the priests were the only ones. This was the only tribe in Israel that got the privilege of drawing near to God. Let's not miss it today, amen? Okay, but here's the deal. Why am I talking about Old Testament priesthood? Because Hebrews 8:5 says this, talking about the tabernacle. It says the tabernacle serves as a copy and shadow of the heavenly things. That means there's something to look at in the Old Testament tabernacle and the priesthood of the Old Testament. It's a shadow of the real thing. It points us to the heavenly realities that we get to walk in. It points us to the heavenly realities of the type of worship that Jesus loves. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So before you go, are we about to talk about all the aspects of the tabernacle and check out? It's more exciting than you think. It's richer than you think. It'll give you language and understanding of how to draw near to God in confidence. It'll give you understanding of how you can walk out your priestly role. It'll give you principles of how to draw near to Jesus. Can we look at a few things real quick? Okay. We're going to look briefly at the Old Testament tabernacle in the hope that it'll awaken our hearts to the privilege of being a priesthood and practically how we can go deeper in our walks as worshipers of a living God. Okay, you guys ready for this? Okay. Can we throw the picture up there really quick? I told the guys to have it ready. Let's see. Okay, we got it. Isn't that just so beautiful and artistic? Stunning, isn't it? Okay. I'm going to do this really quick, and then we're going to pull it back to Jesus and our role, but the entirety of the Old Testament tabernacle will point us to aspects of Jesus fulfilling the tabernacle, as well as how we can walk out our lives as priests and worshipers. Can I give you a few tastes? We can't do the whole thing tonight. It would take hours, but can I give you a few tastes tonight? This is the seven chapters. This is how God wanted it built. This is what he established. You see that thing where it says the gate down there? Okay, there's only one entrance to the tabernacle. Do you know what that reminds me of? There's only one way to the Father. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You want to draw closer to the presence of God? There's only one way. What about my good works? Doesn't cut it. Well, you know, I'm a pretty good person. Doesn't matter. There's only one gate, even to the outer courts of his presence. And the only gate, Jesus said it himself, I'm the door. You know, John 10, I'm the door. Get excited. He's about to fulfill this entire thing. He's the door. As soon as you walk in, now this was only for the nation of Israel, which would have excluded 99% of us in this room. The outer courts was for the nation of Israel. First thing they would see was the altar. The altar was a place of judgment. You did not walk into these gates without something in your hand. If you want to draw near to the presence of God, if you want to have a place of worship, you don't come to a Monday night or a corporate gathering empty-handed. You don't come for good music. You come saying, I want to bring something to Jesus, even if it's a weak offering, a broken offering, whatever you have. We walk in the gates when we come together saying, Jesus, I'm here to move you. I'm here first for you, not for me. You weren't allowed to come into these courts without something in your hand. Also, you guys know the familiar Psalm, Psalm 100. We enter his courts with thanksgiving, his gates with praise. This is the gate they're talking about. Why was that a stipulation? Because Jesus is saying, if you want to come into my presence, you can't have a heart full of unbelief and ingratitude. If you want to know me, there's no unbelief or ingratitude in my heart. So if you want to draw near, you got to play on my terms. Man, I just, worship tonight was like pretty good, but I wasn't really feeling it. I just feel like Tony could have got a little harder on the guitar. And Olivia, I mean, that was like a cool spontaneous part, but I don't know. Maybe I'll go somewhere else. She just wasn't really bringing it tonight, so. Worship isn't about what's up here. It's bringing an offering collectively. We're all priests. Every one of us. I don't care if you've known Jesus for 3 days. In fact, if you've known Jesus for 3 days, it's probably easier for you to walk in those doors with an offering because you're remembering how grateful you are to be saved. I got an offering of praise. I'm saved. Sometimes people have asked me, Chase, why are you so excited in worship? 15 years ago, dude, haven't come down. Hard for me to come down of getting delivered of pornography. Hard for me to come down of getting delivered of bitterness towards my parents. Hard for me to come down of knowing that for eternity, I get to spend eternity with a God who loves me more completely than a human soul ever could. Well, Chase, you seem a little excited in worship. Is it hype? Can you hype God raising from the dead? Can you get too pumped? I think we haven't got pumped enough. And I love this place, but I wonder if we've just gotten started in worship. I think we're tasting something in the presence of God that is so unique and so special, but what if we're just getting started? What if God's saying, there's more? Come with me. Come with me. Bring a wholehearted offering. Come with my gates of thanksgiving and praise. Come to the altar. But here's the thing. We bring an offering, right? But can I give you good news? Because our offerings all fall short. They all have defects. They're not perfect. The sacrificial system was the only way that people could come get cleansed of their sin. You know how Jesus fulfilled the altar? He put himself on a cross. He's the Lamb of God crucified before the foundations of the world. He put himself up there, and he shed the only perfect blood that the planet's ever seen. So the altar of sacrifice was fulfilled by Jesus himself. So when we come in, we do bring an offering. But can I tell you what the main thing we want to fix our eyes on? Christ and him crucified. Why did Paul say, I want to know Christ and him crucified? Why was that? He knew that this was the real altar. This was where everything changed. I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's where the priesthood changes too. Can we go a few more on this? Is it encouraging for you guys? I know we're going a little more on teaching tonight. Okay. See that strange word, laver? I don't know if I said that right, if you're a Greek scholar, but it's close enough. Okay, so after this altar, which had horns on it. It was bronze. Right behind that was this bronze thing called a laver that had water in it where the priests would come wash their hands and their face. This is about getting cleansed before what? Before they went into the holy place. So for this is only for priests. So priests would go to be cleansed so they could go into the holy place. Now, a lot of scholars would say this is correlated to our time in the scripture, the living word. The word is looked at as what washes our hearts clean. It purifies our heart is in the word of God. Now, this is amazing how Jesus fulfills this. I want to honor Zach Neese, How to Worship a King, great book. But can I tell you how Jesus fulfilled this in the Gospels? How many of you guys love the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet? Isn't that an amazing story? Takes off his robe, puts on the robe of a servant, gets down, washes all their feet. He's modeling servanthood. But what is he serving them unto? What is he serving them unto? Right after he washes their feet, the next thing that Jesus does is he invites them into communion. Remember how he breaks the bread and they share the wine? The very first thing when you walk into the holy place, right? You see where it says the golden table? There was bread on that table. It was known as the bread of face or FaceTime and intimacy. This was where the priest would draw near to the presence of God and be intimate and close to him. So Jesus fulfills that with his own disciples saying, I'm washing your feet. I'm cleansing you from the filth of the world so that you can come and share intimacy, that you can know my heart, you can know me. There's an invitation God has for us as priests. Don't stop at the altar. Don't stop at getting washed the word. Come into a place of communion and intimacy with his very presence. Come be face to face with him. Come knowing him in greater depth. There's more. It gets exciting. There's the golden lampstand. There's an altar of incense right there. How many more do we want to go tonight? Let's keep going. You guys want the whole thing? Okay, the lampstand. Let's look at that really quick. We'll do the altar of incense. We'll do the Holy of Holies. We'll bring it back to Jesus, and then we'll respond in some worship and some yeses to Jesus, all right? Okay, the lampstand was made of one hammered piece of gold. It represented divinity, and many would say the Holy Spirit's ministry. Had seven places where oil was filled and the wick was burned. So this isn't some people call it like a candlestick. It wasn't that. This is a place where you had to continually fill these seven places with oil for the wick to keep burning. If you think about the story now, you guys are catching it. If you didn't have oil in the lampstand, the fire would come out. This is an entirely enclosed place. The only light in the holy place was from the lampstand. That's what illuminated. That was it. The only way you have light in the inner courts of your heart and your walk with Jesus is if the fire of the Holy Spirit's presence is burning in your heart. How does that happen? With oil. How do you get oil? Jesus' model is in the Garden of Gethsemane. How do I know that? Gethsemane was a place called, it was like the oil crushing, or the olive crushing. You get oil from things being crushed. If you want oil in your life, you got to be willing to say yes to trials, temptations, tests. You got to be willing to overcome things in Jesus. When you go through hard things, don't disregard it. Press into Jesus, and you will find oil in your lamp. How do we know Jesus' heart was burning? Because in the Garden of Gethsemane, when the sinless man was there, about to be crushed under the weight of our sin, he said, "Not my will, but yours be done." His burning heart said, "Lord, I don't deserve, I don't want this cup. Take it from me, but not my will, yours be done." He's literally being crushed by the weight of the sin of the world from Gethsemane all the way to the cross where he actually is physically crushed. There's an oil in Jesus that never runs dry. And it will light up your heart for all time. You guys loving this? Okay, one more. By the way, this is like a sampler tonight because my goal tonight is to make you so excited that you're a priest. And I want you to catch the thread in scripture of how awesome it is and how much there is to discover of Jesus in scripture when you're a priest. Okay, one more. The altar of incense. It's made of wood and gold. It was placed directly before a veil to the Holy of Holies. It's the last piece of furniture before coming to the Ark of the Covenant. This ministry is most often associated with the ministry of intercession and prayer. Who loves intercession? More than I thought. When I first got saved, I was like, inner what? I was so confused on what intercession even was. But we know from Romans 8:34 that Jesus is the great intercessor. It's correlated to intercession because at this place, the priests would have a place of incense that they would have to light in the holy place. And they could not go to the Holy of Holies unless incense and smoke had filled the Holy of Holies, because they weren't allowed to go into the Holy of Holies without incense burning in there. Why? Because if you see God without anything in the way, you would die. So they would burn incense in the middle. Now, it's correlated to intercession, because a few verses in Revelation. So intercession is what precedes the greatest place of the presence and glory of God. Oftentimes we correlate intercession to an outer work activity. But in the courts of God, he says, this is near and dear to my heart. You really want to know me as a priest? Come find out what I burn for. Come find out what I'm broken about. All those lost kids in India, I'm burning. Man, all those inner city kids that don't know me, I'm burning. That university up the road, I'm burning. That high school that's turning away from Jesus, that's going to secular humanism, I'm burning. You want to know me, come find me in the place of intercession. Because if I can trust you with my heart in intercession, then I can reveal my glory. But if this is just about you experiencing a goosebump in my presence, it's not about sharing it with me, how can I trust you with my glory? Intercession and prayer is what precedes going into a greater place of the glory of God. Okay, a few more things. You guys still with me? Is this too much? Okay. The Holy of Holies. Now, Old Covenant truth reality, there was a high priest, only one guy. And this one guy, one time a year, got to go into the Holy of Holies. So one guy on the entire planet, one day out of the year, got to go into the Holy of Holies, like the unhindered manifest presence of God where the Ark of the Covenant was. How many of you guys would say that God is probably holier than we're thinking? And most scholars say they would tie something around his ankle. He would go in on his face under the veil just in case he died in there and they had to pull him out. So God is holy. You don't just draw near. It's not easy access, right? It's not instantaneous like everybody gets to come. No, because he's a holy God and he has a system, this is how he had to do it because he's holy. He knew if they drew near with sinful hearts, they wouldn't survive. Why is this awesome? Because when Jesus is crucified, when he's hanging on the cross, one of the miracles that happens, there's a ton of miracles, but when he breathes his last, we all know the story, but watch how awesome it is. It says, the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom. This veil was thick. This wasn't like a piece of paper where you just go like, got it. It was torn top to bottom. Why? So you'd know it was God and not man. And what was God saying? Finally, the blood that brings access for my people to me. I don't want to be far off. I don't want to be impossible to get to. I want a kingdom of priests. I want a royal priesthood. I'm longing for all to draw near. I don't want this to be for one guy. But there's only one way, because I'm a just holy God, and that's if the blood of my son could cleanse them from their sin. The blood of my son could cleanse their conscience. It's the only way they can draw near in a sincere heart. Some of you couldn't press in tonight. And it's because you got to get cleansed by the blood. Some of you worship, you feel condemnation because you're under the weight of sin. And you haven't put it on the altar. Some of you, intimacy is hard because you haven't been in your word and you haven't been getting washed clean. Some of you have been longing for greater glory but unwilling to go to the place of brokenness and intercession. There's an invitation tonight, priest. There's more for us, I'm telling you. Disciples of Jesus, if we grab a hold of the truth that we are a royal priesthood, I'm telling you, we are just scratching the surface of the glory of God manifesting in our presence in greater ways than we could imagine. There's so much more to say, guys, about the ark, cherubim. There's too many things to say. I just feel there's some invitations, though, for us to grab a hold of being royal priests. I want to read my anchor scripture tonight. This is where it's all pointing to, guys. I want you to grab a hold of this tonight, okay? 1 Peter chapter 2 says this. As you come to him, talking about Jesus, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. Everybody say holy priesthood. To offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in scripture, behold, I'm laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious. Whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you weren't a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. It's good news to be a priest tonight. We got to take back ground. We got to start celebrating that we are a royal priesthood. Because here's the deal. There's certain places you can go alone with God, but there's certain places that we can't go without each other. And I don't know about you, but I am longing with you to go as deep into the presence of Jesus that I possibly can. I don't want to come here just to get a taste, to get some breadcrumbs. I want to know, how much of Jesus could we know this side of eternity? How deep could we go in the glory of God? How deep could we go in the presence of God? That requires a priesthood. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. Okay, tonight, I'm almost done, I think. I have 6 reasons why we don't embrace it. And then 6 practical ways to live it out, but we won't get to all those. Maybe we'll get to a few, okay? Okay, can I tell you why we don't embrace the privilege of being a priest really quick? We're too easily satisfied to glean off the anointing and gifting of others. Rather than embrace the exciting journey of finding God ourselves, if we're waiting for all the goods from this amazing band, worship leaders, etc., spiritual leader, we'll be living off a diet of crumbs rather than the full meal. Each of us is invited to know God in secret. How many of you guys want to throw off passivity in our pursuit of Jesus? A royal priesthood doesn't mess around. They say, I'm coming in, and I'm coming after you, Jesus. Whether these guys are ready, I'm coming. That's the attitude we got to have. We are too easily satisfied. You guys ready to chuck off any passivity in our pursuit of Jesus? Okay, comparison. We don't think we're good enough to be a good one. Isn't the priesthood just for singers and musicians? No. You are all worshipers. Some of the greatest worship leaders that I know can't sing a lick. But they demand worship to Jesus because they love Jesus wholeheartedly. And I'm going to model to you in just a second that I'm also a worship leader. So get ready for that. Some of my friends are nervous right now. Another reason why we don't embrace it, we go back to our old life. Remember Israel, it goes back to the golden calf. If you've got sin in your life, today's the day to leave it at the altar. Get any weight in your life that feels like, I can't draw near because of A, B, C, D. Bring the whole list to Jesus and get cleansed and get set free tonight. This is one of your first times here and you've never surrendered to Jesus. Don't miss a moment. Surrender to Jesus tonight. He's the greatest king, greatest friend, greatest high priest. He's the God of the universe. You don't want to leave tonight without a full surrender to Jesus. We'll do a gospel moment, don't worry. Okay, one other reason. We get too busy ministering to people and lose sight of the most important design of ministering to God. This, I felt, was for some circuit riders in the room. If you've gotten too busy with ministry and you forgot your first love, let's come back tonight. If you've gotten too busy, well, it's time to chuck something. It's not worth it. I'd rather people be judging you for saying you're not busy enough, but you have a thriving personal relationship with Jesus. Last one, we approach God out of religious duty rather than an overflowing heart of gratitude for all that he is and has done. When the temple was built, the people brought a free will offering of materials to build it. Don't feel obligated. Come where your heart's at and bring a free will heart offering. Like, Jesus, this is just what I got. It ain't perfect, but I love you with what I got. Here you go, Lord. Come with honesty to the throne of Jesus. Okay. Last thing I want to do before we have a heart response, can I give you a few practicals on how to grow in this? Because some of this could remain ethereal in your mind. Like, hey, well, how do I, you know, go deeper? And kind of, if it's a shadow pointing to the real thing, what does that look like? I want to give you a few practicals. Meet with God alone and in community. Set aside 15 minutes a day this week. Wow, this is so practical. Try this. Set aside 15 minutes a day this week, just you alone with Jesus, and spend that time entering his courts with thanksgiving and praise. Don't come with a list of asks or a list of things like, God, I need it. We get to bring that. That's all good. That's part of the priesthood too. But start with just thanking Jesus for who he is and what he's done in your life. If we get the first part right, I'm telling you, you can go a lot deeper in the rest of it. If we miss the first part, we're going to miss the whole thing. So start by 15 minutes every day thanking Jesus for who he is, what he's done in your life. In that 15 minutes, then spend 5 minutes in the Word of God and pray the Word of God. Do those two things this week, and I'm telling you, you will get addicted. You're like, 15 minutes? It's not very long. It's not like really a big ask. I know how good my high priest is. I know when you taste and see, it won't stop at 15 minutes. Because when you come into the courts of the presence of God, there is no greater experience than the presence of God. All right. Okay, second thing, you got to actually praise God. Did you know you can't praise God silently? I'm coming after you guys that give the excuses of my voice isn't good enough. Your voice isn't being good enough. It's about him liking it. Stop performance, man. He wants your heart. And where does your heart overflow? Out of your mouth, according to the Bible. Biblical praise has like 7 different words, and all of them have expression and volume and sound. So if you come in here and you're silent the entire time, you're holding back your offering to Jesus, man. Get in the game. But it's not that great. You can do this to me. Jesus, I love you. See, he liked that because I'm his friend. And I know my place as a priest before God. When you know it, man, worship gets a lot of fun. Okay, you guys ready to open your mouth and praise God when we come together? All right, a few more and then we're done. Okay, this is so important. Why does Circuit Riders do green? Why do we have 6 hours of prayer, worship, and intercession? Can I tell you why? Is you make time for what you value. And we wanted to tell the Lord as a ministry, as a community, we want to make time for you most of all. So 6 hours, the primary thing that we do for those 6 hours in Greenhouse House of Prayer, you know what we do primarily? We love him and we worship him. It's that simple. We come together because we have a biblical value as a priesthood saying, we want to make the main thing the main thing. We'll never stop discovering the depths of your love. We'll never stop discovering the depths of who you are, your faithfulness, your kindness, your patience, your mercy. It's endless. So we want to make a value that worship to Jesus. That's right. The water fell right there. Dramatic effect. Worship to Jesus is the most important thing to our community. So come together with other believers, pray, seek his face, worship him with all your heart. Last thing is I want to encourage you to intercede this week. As a worshiper, one of the ways that you worship God is you join him in the place of intercession. I want to encourage you, this is not complicated, one person that either doesn't know Jesus or is struggling, and I want you to pray for them 5 minutes this week. One person, not a lot, 5 minutes, and at the end of the week, I want you to see how they're doing. I want to show you the power of your priestly anointing in prayer. It's stronger than you think. Okay, we're going to respond to Jesus right now. Does that sound good? Yes. We're going to respond a few different ways before we end tonight. Got most of my notes. As I was praying for tonight, I felt some of you here tonight, a lot of what I'm talking about is like, man, that sounds amazing, but it's hard for me to relate because I'll be honest, I don't even know if I'm really following Jesus. I want to be a priest. It sounds amazing to draw near to the presence of God. But in all reality, I'm here tonight, and I'm not sure that I'm really following Jesus with all of my heart. I'm 75% there. I'm 80. I'm 90. Or you're like 10%. Like, my friend brought me here, dude. I don't know what you're talking about. If that's you tonight, you're like, man, I want to get my heart right before Jesus so that I could step into my identity as a priest, as a follower of Jesus. If you're here tonight, I want to tell you that though the wages of your sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And this truth has not stopped ringing for over 2,000 years. The wages of your sin is death. And if you've never put your sin under the blood of Jesus, I'm telling you, there is no hope for you. The honest truth, the loving truth is to tell you that outside of Jesus, you will never draw near to the presence of God. You'll never come into the gate. He is the only door. He is the only gate. He is the only access point to relationship with the Father. And you cannot come in half-heartedly. You can't come in and say, I'll kind of keep this sin pattern in the back corner. I'll kind of keep this to myself. No, no. If you want to come in, you've got to be willing to say, Jesus, I need a free gift of grace to make me a new creation. I'm leaving the old behind. I'm repenting. I'm turning to you. Make me one of your followers. Make me a priest. In just a second, if that's you, I'm going to ask you to stand up because I think a bold confession before Jesus, he'll make a bold confession before the Father. Now, you might be hearing me like, what do my friends think? Who cares? What does God think? A priest's main relationship is with God himself. So if you're here tonight, you need to know that I'm surrendering to Jesus. I'm stepping in wholeheartedly. I'm telling you, I feel it tonight. Tonight is your night. Your heart might be pounding. You might be like, oh my goodness, am I about to make a fresh decision to follow Jesus wholeheartedly? Yes, you are. It's going to be awesome. Why don't we just do that right now? If you're here tonight and you're like, because we're going to have two other responses. But if you're here tonight, you're like, I know that I'm not a priest. And I know I'm not following Jesus wholeheartedly, but I want to surrender to the way, the truth, the life. Because no one comes to the Father except through him. I want to surrender. I want to repent. Turn from your old ways and follow him wholeheartedly. If that's you, I want you to stand up tonight. Because I'm telling you, the blood of Jesus, that sacrifice that went on the altar, it's as powerful that day as it is today. It still cleanses any sin. He hasn't found a sin he can't forgive. He hasn't found a heart too hard or too far. He is longing for your heart. He's saying, bring it. I put myself on the altar to bring you into the family, to bring you into the priesthood. I made a way. So if you know you need Jesus to make a way for you tonight, on the count of three, I want you to stand up. One, two, three. It's awesome. So awesome. Stay standing with me, guys. I know it's a bold moment. It's a vulnerable moment. But guess what? You'll never regret standing before Jesus in eternity saying, I made a bold confession. I love the eyes closed. We do that sometimes, but sometimes it's time to get bold and say, we live for Jesus. Okay, we're all going to pray a simple prayer of surrender. And then what I want you guys to do is you're going to come right over here and some circle guys are going to pray for you guys, okay? Does that sound good? So say this with me. Jesus, we surrender to you. You're the King. We repent from lifestyles of sin. And we turn to Jesus tonight. We receive forgiveness for sin. And we make you King, high priest, and leader of our lives. Jesus, we say yes to following you with all of our heart. Amen. Stay standing. Guys, get like a, if you're standing, I know this is bold. If you would be willing to come forward and just come over here to this corner. Everybody wave to Timmy. What's up, Timmy? Come on up. Timmy's going to follow up with you guys really quick. Okay, so practicals. I'm going back. I know you guys are like, well, that was a powerful moment. We're going back to practicals. Don't leave tonight without a fresh sign up of how you're going to grow as a priest. Write something down. I'm going to get 5 minutes of thanking Jesus. I'm going to get 5 minutes of singing out loud. I'm going to get 5 minutes of interceding for one person. Say yes to something that you can do. Don't worry about being a pro right now. Just learn from Jesus with all of your heart. Can we do that? Okay, second thing, how many of you guys are getting pretty excited to respond and worship? Now, we're going to do this a little bit different. I told the guys, they are going to come back up here. They're going to facilitate because I have honor for the gifts. You guys, musical worship, it's happening in heaven. This is one of the strongest way, biblically, that we can worship God is through song. So I'm not devaluing the gifts. Don't hear me wrong tonight. I am valuing the gifts because I'm so grateful that Lucas sings on a microphone and I don't. I'm so grateful that Lindy sings on a microphone and I don't. But at the end of the day, I'm not waiting for them when I come together. I'm usually up front because I just love Jesus. And so I want us to respond a little differently tonight. Go ahead and stand with me. I'm taking a risk. I'm putting cool reputation on the line, guys. We're going to all activate right now as priests before the band comes back up. You guys ready for this? I'm going to give you an easy one to start with. We're just going to warm up a little bit, okay? One of the ways commanded multiple times in Scripture to worship God is with a shout. Maybe you thought that was just a hype thing. It's not. It actually moves. I'm excited when I get on the other side of eternity to look back and be like, what do those shouts do, Jesus? Dude, you don't even know how many demons that took out. When you shouted with all your heart, it meant you really loved me with all your heart. And you didn't care what others thought. You gave me your whole voice. So then I gave you my voice. So we're going to shout with all of our heart a gratitude shout for the cross of Christ. I want you to remember that you're saved by grace through faith, which Jesus, he paid for your debt. So we're going to do a quick, this is one way we're going to worship God. You guys ready for this? We're going to do a few responses. We're just going to shout with no music. Isn't that amazing? No mood. I'll give you enough time to warm up and get in the zone. On the count of three, I'm going to show you how awesome a worship leader I am and how easy it is to worship Jesus because he's so incredible. You guys ready? Okay, shout to Jesus. One, two, three. Oh, yeah. Some of you guys want me to lead worship more often. Feel that. Okay, that was pretty good. I'm telling you, there's more. No. There's one more authentic shout from our heart. We're celebrating a God who was, he was breathless in a grave for 3 days, but death could not hold him. The grave could not hold him. Hold on. Hold on, orderly tonight. He came back to life. He's still breathing today at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and for me. He's a faithful high priest, which means he doesn't struggle with the things we do. He's always merciful. He's always kind. He's always making a way. That's who we're celebrating tonight. Okay. We're going to do two more things before we respond to musical worship. Okay, we're going to shout one more time. But this one, I want you to lift a shout. Okay, this one I'm passionate about. I'm going one more time. Sorry, they let me speak tonight, so too bad. I always struggled going to sports games and hearing a louder noise for a sports team than for Jesus. It's always irked me a little bit. That a room and this many fans at a basketball gym, last second shot, man, it goes bananas, rightly so. I get it, I love basketball. But it always had a thing in me of like, Jesus, you deserve the best. You deserve the most. You deserve it all. And if shouting is a way that we're commanded in Scripture to praise, I want to give you a biblical shout. If a shout can bring down a wall in Jericho, I want to give you a shout that moves principalities and demons. If a shout is something that moves your heart, I want to shout in such a way that moves your heart. I think as Christians, we got to take back the shout. We got to be the loudest people on the planet. Okay, we've waited long enough. Let's give one more shout celebrating Jesus. Can we do that? One, two, three, we love you, Jesus. Let's go, priests. Okay. Now, I know you guys, I can feel the longing. Get the team back up there so we can sing. I'm excited too. Don't worry. But now I know what you're capable of. So, no longer warm-up times on Monday nights. Zach gets his own. He's a great leader. He's got a gift. He's going to keep helping us do that. But can we come to Monday nights? Can we come to places where we gather ready to explode for Jesus every time? Not out of hype, not out of emotion, but because he's worthy. Okay, we're going to do one more, and then the band's going to come up. You guys want to do one more? Okay. Enter his gates with what? Okay. Another commanded way to praise is to sing to the Lord. So, without a band, without somebody with that specific gifting of singing, you got me, sorry. We're going to sing our gratitude to Jesus for the cross. And I want this to be authentic from your heart tonight. in your own language, in your own words. You're not going to repeat me. This is just going to be a chorus of thank you, Jesus. And I'll give you an example in case you feel uncomfortable. You can feel less uncomfortable after I sing. I'll be a fool for Jesus if it means he gets worship. So what you're going to do, you're going to enter his courts with thanksgiving. We're going to thank him for the cross. Your own melody, your own heart. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross. Now, hold on. Now, I want to model something. Did you feel the presence of God increase? It's because he likes when we sing from hearts. We're priests with a high priest who's not distant. He's right here with us. He longs to hear your voice, to hear from your heart authentic worship. So for 1 minute before the band comes up, can we just sing a gratitude song to Jesus? Can we lift our voices? Go ahead and go for it. Your own song of gratitude to Jesus for the cross. Come on, lift your voice just one more minute. Lift your voice. I know it can be uncomfortable. Lift your voice. This is for him. It's not for your friend next to you. I know you might be uncomfortable. This is for Jesus right now. Lift authentic gratitude. Band, worship team, you guys can come back up right now. 30 more seconds. Keep going. Come on, lift your voice. Okay, I want to invite you. We're just going to gather around the throne of Jesus right now. In heaven, it's a throne with one on the throne. His name is Jesus. And all of heaven surrounds the throne. So if you want to come forward, sides, just want to give you permission to come forward. We're just going to respond for a few more minutes. Grabbing a hold tonight. We're putting a stake in the ground that we are all priests of the Most High. And this response of worship tonight is we are telling him with everything that we are that we won't neglect our priestly role of coming and ministering to your heart. We won't keep it on the side. It's not secondary. It's the key to a burning heart. You want to be a burning heart in ministry your whole life? You want to see it be a burning heart in business? You want to be a burning heart wherever you go? Lock eyes with the burning man and never look away. Lock eye with the man that can set your heart on fire as you worship him unlike any other can. Whew, we love you, Jesus. I mean, I just feel his presence is going to increase as we gather around and worship right now. Could you just lift your hands to Jesus? Father, we just thank you, Lord, that your son made a way for all of us. We thank you, Jesus, that we here in this room are a part of a royal priesthood, that we've got a king interceding for us. We've got a king who made a way for us. So, Jesus, we thank you. It's the delight of our heart to draw near to you and worship you all of our days. It's the delight of our heart to lift high the name of Jesus. It's the joy of our heart, God. To worship you with everything that we are, Lord. So we put a stake in the ground tonight, Lord, to say that we are a royal priesthood and we're going to worship our high priest with all that we are in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to a Circuit Rider podcast. For our full library of podcasts and more information about the Circuit Riders, visit us at circuitriders.com. To access worship, messages, and training courses, visit us at circuitriders.tv. To get involved with the day-to-day of what we do or see what's happening across the globe, you can follow us at Circuit Riders on Instagram. And finally, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next time.